taste of Melbourne's diverse poetry scene. Poets using their voices to entertain, to move, to take you on a journey.
Connecting you to grassroots poetry and performance.
Welcome to 3CR Spoken Word Program. My name's Michael Reynolds, and I'll be joining the Spoken Word crew. This is my very first time behind this side of the desk. And my very first guest is Jason Voss. I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land we're on, Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and recognise elders past and present. Now, several months ago, I was looking through some old photos of Eric Beach and his very last appearance at the Dan O'Connell. I came across a photo from the open mic. It was a young man who looked very much like a much younger Jason Voss. And I showed Jason this photo, and he said, "That's the first time in Melbourne I ever read poetry." So that's quite something to be there when you first came to Melbourne. So Jason, welcome.
Thank you. Hello.
To start with. And yes, please tell us about your journey into the Melbourne poetry.
As you said, that was the first open mic I ever did in Melbourne. I'd moved from Tassie about a week before, and I just Googled spoken word stuff, and half of the went to the website that, and half of them didn't exist anymore. I went to a few venues. I think I went to 30 Dirk. Like, no, we haven't done it for a couple of years. And I'm like, okay, yeah. They went to Dan O'Connell. And then sort of progressed from there. Went to a few open mics. Did Slamma Lamma Ding Dong, the competition that we have here in Melbourne. I managed to get top three of that for the first time ever, which got me to the final. And then, like, I was up against some, like, Tabani sort of won the whole thing. I had no idea who anyone was, but, like, yeah, I was up against some big hitters and come dead last, which is sort of how when I started poetry as well. In 2017, I Googled poetry competitions in Hobart, and there was only one. It was the Australian Poetry Slam.
Yes.
And it was about 12 o'clock at night. And I'm like, okay, cool, I might do this. No idea what I was doing. It was literally the next night. And so I was like, I don't have anything. So I went and I did something. It was terrible. I didn't know what to shake it. I talked too quickly and I got dead last again. But it was one of those things, sort of like, okay, well, I don't know what I'm doing. But, you know, over time, you just, as I said to everyone, just over time, you sort of improve. And now, you know, I'm where I am now. I MC a poetry night in Melbourne. I was lucky enough to be part of Team Slammer last year, and we went to Nimbin for a competition there, and just doing my thing now.
Wow. And doing your thing includes doing your thing is actually quite a lot of things.
I realise that.
And You've got a gig of your own now, Chaotic Musings, which happens every Wednesday fortnight at Creatures of Habit. It hasn't always been at the Creatures of Habit, pretty sure. So how long have you been running it, and where has it tracked?
So, yeah, we started... It's been just over 5 years. So we started, so I will say we, I run the Poetry Night with a friend of mine, Rye. We collectively call Vibe Union. It's a little creative organization. We used to do a lot of other things. We've now focused on poetry. We started March of 2021, I think. Someone contacted us. There was a few more of us part of Vibe Union at the time, but now it's just the two of us. Someone contacted us, was like, hey, I want to put on a Poetry Night, which was originally on Chapel Street. Mm-hmm. At a place called Blue Bar. It's a nightclub, which is sort of odd. So the vibe was kind of, it was a nice stage, but, you know, it was very much, and then, you know, we had to work out the mics were designed for music and singers, so we had to bring our own mics because the mics wouldn't work for just speaking, sort of thing. So yeah, we started there, and then we used to run a different event at Radio Bar on Brunswick Street, just up the road from Creatures of Habit. And we were like, well, why don't we move? We should probably move to Brunswick or Fitzroy, where sort of more of the poetry hub is. And so we moved there. And so we called it, originally it was Talking Blue. And then we moved to Radio Bar. We called it Radio Talk. And then after a couple of years, that finished. And we went to a venue for a couple of weeks. And Ryan and I were sort of burnt out. So we took a break. And then that venue didn't reopen, so we were scrambling for a new venue, and we sort of did a wander around Brunswick and Fitzroy, kind of did a pub crawl, but just sort of walked in and went, nah. And then we went to Creatures of Habit, talked to Brad and Fran, who own it and run it, and we were like, hey, can we do poetry? Like, yeah, email us and we'll get stuff sorted. And we've been there now for a year and a half. It's been a journey, but yeah, even during lockdown, we went online and did our regular radio talk whatever it was called then. It was the same. Yeah, we just did it online. I emceed the same sort of thing, but I was just in my bedroom, so people would come on and we'd just do live streams. every 2 weeks, it was sort of, yeah, the same sort of thing. So, and now, yeah, we're Creatures of Habit. We've self-published three poetry anthologies called Chaotic Musings 1, 2, and 3. We try to do that every once a year for, like, people that come along and say thank you and give back to our poetry community. So yeah, that's the evolution and progression of Chaotic Musings and that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Wow. One thing I particularly like about publishing anthologies for a particular gig or a particular reading is One thing you aim to do when you're running a gig is you're helping the people who get up to read to develop their craft, and part of that is making them you don't think you're doing it half the time, but what you're doing is you're making them proud of what they do, and these books so much achieve that.
Yeah, it's nice to be able to give people, like, I know, you know, it's a bit self-published, but yeah, it's always nice to see your writing in print sort of thing. And yeah, we're kind of lucky. Rye's very good at doing all the, he does all the back end and all the stuff, and I'm just like, yeah, that looks good, let's print it sort of thing. So we're very lucky to have two of us. We work really well together, and yeah, having the books. So yeah, so one of those labor of love kind of things. But yeah, what you're saying, like, it just sort of shows, and also makes people keep turning up.
Yeah.
But it's also giving people confidence of, like, oh, actually, it means, like, because, you know, people come to open mics and they're nervous and they're scared or whatever, and then they keep coming. You can see the development of how well, you know, their sheets or their phones shaking, and then over time they're like, then they get too comfortable. No, they're fine. Yeah.
Yes, and yes, showing faith in their work.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So, Jason, would you like to share with us some of your poetry?
Yes, I can. Conveniently, we have Chaotic Musings 3. So, yeah, this one's called Could I Be a God? Romans 12:19. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. I never thought about playing God. to seek divinity, to be a creator, a super ethereal being, to be more powerful than anything that has ever existed. But if vengeance is for God and God alone, then please take away my physical form. Strip me of all humanity. Replace what once was my entire existence with an omnipotent entity. I will do the bidding required of the Holiest upon high. Put your faith in me. Need not I a 10% tithe or complete devotion. No sacrifice of any price. Just have a little faith and I will seek retribution. Exodus 21:24. An eye for an eye, right? I will come for the bankers, the moneylenders, the tax collectors. I will come for the rich, the landlords, the politicians, and all those who protect the remorseless enforcement of corporate lawlessness. And they will try to adorn me with a crown of thorns to be scorned by ill-informed hordes, but they've already watched souls die countless times and never mourned. I will dismantle the patriarchal archetypes using my name to deny human rights. I will remove conspiratorial colonial concepts from consciousness, crumble the capitalistic constraints conspiring to destroy creativity, changing societal gender binaries that bind together bigots through boring, complacent heteronormativity, sparing no heretical cleric. Fanatics worshipping at my feet, accepting the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, enjoying the body of Christ, swallow, don't spit it. If not, holy water when extinguished, the fire and brimstone inflicted on all those who seek not to give sanctuary to desperate passers-by. I will burn it all to the ground, watching as the flames dance, and I will gladly burn and dance with them, engulf my body amongst the sounds of anguish and torment, listening to the wailing and the screams, allow me to burn to ashes and dust, giving all those who have suffered in the name of any God a life and existence they deserve. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So. There's that one.
I just left that small moment of silence there just to appreciate that poem. Thank you so much. I've always thought during a poetry gig, if you hear the applause like the very second you finish, it's like people saying, okay, next. But
yeah,
that second silence after the poem, that's the audience saying, I like that.
I need a minute. I need the process. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is definitely a different. I have to look out for that more. You can obviously, you feel it and you sense it when it happens, but yeah, now actually it being said out loud. Yeah. We can all hear the poems. We've been at nights in there's that just second of, even as MC, sometimes you just have to stand there and be like, before I introduce the next part, let's all just take a second.
Yes,
and then
yes,
it's nice
indeed.
The crowd's not, yeah, and the crowd's going, yeah, we, you know, exactly know what you're doing, which is kind of nice, so, yeah.
Okay. So the Radiothon has started. Maybe we should rename this program Spoken Word, Don't Forget to Donate for the next few weeks. Okay, now this is Spoken Word Poetry, not comedy, so let's get back to our special guest for this week. And and Jason, do you have another poem that you could share with us?
I do. This one's a bit older, but it seems to be a crowd favorite, so it's called Based Me, but I don't know, it's just, I'm not one to title poems, not for any pretentious reason, just no, I always forget to. All right. I was once told that I'm too autistic to be dateable. Those words rolled around inside this vaccinated brain, dripping in melancholic despondency, cursing my fucked up brain chemistry, burning myself out, trying to be half the person I continue to fail to be. But eventually, I wondered why I kept trying to suppress my mind to fit a fantasy of a perfect diagnosis, allowing this creation of mental asphyxiation and detrimental placation, watering myself down into a paste to cover over the mediocre cracks and lackadaisical ideologies. See, I want my brain to be stimulated, not playing to underperform performances, dulling myself to succumb to asinine comfortabilities. Or because you've watched clips of Love on the Spectrum, truly enamoured by the fact that they can find love too. Since you've been happy and content living within these bland rules of social communication like a unseasoned linguistic chicken breast of verbal interaction, barely sprinkling salt and pepper on people you deem delicious enough to exist, leaving a bitter taste on the tongue. Nah, fuck that. Give me all the spice, neurologically and literally. Pour it all over me, baby. Baste me like the retarded poultry I am. If you're not willing to eat at the table, then maybe the recipe doesn't need to be changed, but instead, your taste buds need to adjust. And I'm not saying I'm perfect, nor am I always the correct temperature. Merely that I am who I am, and if what I be does not tantalize your tongue, then I ain't serving you up shit anymore. Your plate can stay empty, and I will starve you of me. Thank you.
Nice. I'll make these click sounds. Yeah, here we go.
Yeah, that's what,
You laid yourself quite open with that one, and the gigs that you run at Chaotic Musings, I hear people give their not just their heart, but their soul to the audience quite often. It's quite I find it common now that people feel that they can tell some self-truths or whatever to these audiences. That's one big difference that I've seen over the years. Do you find that, or do you get that people are doing that more these days, or
Yeah, I think poetry lends itself. I mean, you know, some people who don't know about poetry sort of have a weird, skewed idea of what it sort of is. But yes, it's an odd, I still think about sometimes, it's an odd thing of like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go to a room, sometimes a room full of strangers, behind a microphone with my voices amplified, and just speak, you know, like speak my trauma to these people, and then just go sit down and just enjoy the rest of, well, hopefully they enjoy the night. But yeah, have it just, because yeah, I do the same sort of thing. It's this cathartic, I've talked to people who are very nervous, and then as soon as they've done their first time, you can see the weight lifted off their shoulders kind of thing, and the nerves, they're still nervous, but it's like, oh, I can continue doing this. Yeah, it's, yeah, seeing that, and if it's the same as me as well, writing stuff down in a, it's kind of nice to write things down, and poetry, you can just play with words and cadences and sounds, and make what your experience is into something different, artistic, hopefully entertaining as well. Because you know, you want people to like your poetry as well. Well, you know, like, you kind of want to do a good job in a way, but also, yeah, just seeing people even at different poetry nights as well, just, and then you can see the people who are more comfortable being part of a community kind of thing, and you can see the layers slowly strip off people, and sometimes their poems are just, they're maybe more guarded than over time. They just hit you with something so intense that once again, going back to that kind of, you just need a second after the mic. Like, you know, I think most people who go to poetry nights heard some pretty heavy, horrific stuff, and then just for people like, thank you for that, and then just sit back down like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm like, it's one of those. It's an odd. It's a lovely, but very odd. It's still, when you, and I think about it, it's an odd space to create, but it's such a, in my mind, an essential space to have. Not just my night, but said everyone. There's different poetry nights around in Melbourne, and people get what they want from those nights or days or events. You know, some people might vibe with a different night, and they get what they need from that. And I think that's the important thing. You know, I'm not going to expect everyone to come to my night every Wednesday. You know, some people might not like it, and that's fine. So that, you know, they'll go to a different night, and I think that's the lovely thing about poetry. It's, you know, it's so expansive, and it's some things aren't for everyone and other things are for everyone. It's sort of, yeah, which is, I really enjoy that part of it.
Yeah, yeah. I have found myself on the odd occasion thinking to myself, yeah, that's happened to me as well, and I've changed what I'm going to read because of someone before me. It's it's quite interesting. You get themes happening sometimes the theme is confessional.
You'll have 5, 6, 7 poets just pouring their heart out, and then there's always usually someone is like, my poetry is a bit more lighthearted, and it kind of just breaks the, it's just like, as an MC, sometimes you know the people that you need to put where, because I've already got a list written down, so yeah, so sometimes you're just like, okay, I know these certain people are going to be quite heavy, usually sometimes they aren't, but yeah, then you just put like a palate cleanser in there. Someone who, like, you're not going to throw someone new under the bus and like, hey, get in there and do something between all this heavy, heavy stuff. But yeah, sometimes it's, you just to get that little palate cleanse and everyone's just like, fresh, oh, clean, yes. And then we go back into trauma again. So
I have seen on the very odd occasion a host introducing someone and they're saying, oh, here's someone who's a very funny, hilarious poet, ha ha ha, yeah. And they get on and they do the most serious thing. And
you gotta be careful. Yeah, kind of like, yeah, I like to joke around with, you know, some of my friends, the more poetry community, but it's sort of like, yeah, sometimes it's more of a, yeah, if you sort of not pigeonhole them, but you kind of want, sometimes, yeah, you want someone who's more of a comedian, you want them to do a poem sometimes, like test themselves and do something more heartfelt and more poetry adjacent. Because yeah, we more of a, I think we started the whole, when we started poetry, it was more, we called it language arts instead of poet. Like, it's like, you, if you want, got something to say, as long as you're not being a dick about it. sort of the, you know, sort of, because some people are like, oh, can I do this in Italian? Or I'm like, do whatever you want. Like, like, you know. So we kind of was like language arts in a way, sort of like you do, some people gone up and doing comedy stuff, some people have read from, I'm writing a book, I mean, here's a couple of pages from it, sort of thing. So, you know.
Mm. Well, you've absolutely got me in the mood to listen to with another one of your poems. Do you have?
I could got one more.
Another one?
Yeah.
Ah, lovely.
I can do this other one. All right, this one's a bit different. This isn't the future I was promised. I was told I would be given a happy ever after, but the happy endings truly exist. Or is the concept of a happily ever after merely an illusion, a calming placation to curtail the masses into believing that mediocrity is all that we can hope for? A fairy tale where big bad wolves are huffing and puffing, fairy tales where the pages are inked with stories of wild canines blowing down even the sturdiest of brick houses until there were no more tales to tell, because wolves can no longer talk when they're reduced to rubble. Maniacal storytellers replacing narratives with blueprints for a genocidal utopia, enforcing a Machiavellian and colonial status quo, since who the fuck needs peace and harmony when money and blood can flow, cash stacked as high as the bodies it pays for, dollar signs etched into every bullet fired from the guns bought and sold by ivory tower merchants, forcing the rest to throw the last of their coins down a wishing well that has long been poisoned so that profiteering troglodytes can exploit and capitalize on ignorance and fear, scared of perceived violations and attacks on a way of life built off the backs of anyone outside a racist diatribe of existence set on brutal placations, making tongues that talk different dialects to be perceived as speaking in fluent death threats, anti-intellectual sentiments become prevalent for negligence. Why have critical thinking when you can falsify the evidence? Prejudice takes precedent. All you need is faith. The rest rests in a nest of irrelevance through propaganda propagating powerful protocols, helping sealed-lip politics to create atheistic manifest destinies. The destination? A sadistic hedonism, where the color of your flag determines whether it rains water droplets or white phosphorus. After all, how can you speak your truth without an esophagus? Weaponizing that silence, attacking the senses, a noiseless violence. This is not about freedom. It's about feeding that delusion. It's about holding on to power and playing games to keep that monopoly. But we are no longer merely players. We are David, giant slayers, for the world might be a stage, but we are watching bad faith actors stutter and fumble their lines, because this is real life, with real regrets, real Romeos, real Juliets, real Montagues, real Capulets, real puppeteers, real marionettes. Thank you.
Stop. Fortnite at Creatures of Habit in Fitzroy. Do you have a page for Chaotic Musings?
So as I said, it's our website, Vibe Union's website. So vibeunion.com we used to have a lot more events that we used to do. So all the events now are just poetry. If you're interested, we mainly take sign-ups online. It's just something we've done. It's a bit, not everyone does it, that's fine, but like majority of people do online sign-ups. It's just the way Ryan and I like to do it. If you just want to check us out, we have an Instagram as well, vibe.union on Instagram, if you want to check us out. We do reels and videos of our nights and stuff. On Brunswick Street in Fitzroy, Creatures of Habit. The next one will be, what will be the date? Wednesday next week. whatever that date is. we do it every fortnight. So if you're interested, check out our website or Instagram. All the information's there.
I've been speaking with our guest this week, Jason Voss. And thank you very much for coming in this week, Jason.
No, thank you for having me. It's very been fun. Much. Yeah, I'm always happy to talk about myself. So, who is it, you know? And poetry, obviously. Thanks for the invite. And, it's nice to be the inaugural poet for your journey on this radio show.
That leads me to say thank you very much, listeners, for tuning in today. It's been quite an adventure getting to the stage where I can actually be on the radio on this side of the desk. You're going to need some sort of camera for that particular reference. But anyway, our radiothon has just started for 3CR, and in this, our 50th year, we are asking, as in other years, for subscriptions. There's a link on the 3CR website, and I'll see what I can do about putting a link on Facebook, etc., as well. Next week is going to we're going to have a live broadcast all around the radiothon, and in the studio there will be Indrani, Tina, myself, and Brendan Bonsack will be making a return to the panel. So this has been Michael Reynolds on Spoken Word 3CR.